Right, I'm quoting everything here. I'm quoting comes from this fantastic sefer of Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn, The Laws of the 3 Weeks. Right, I assume this is by Rabbi Bunim Kohn. Is it not?
Very good.
Yeah. Kitov, yeah, it's very, very good. Okay, we all know today is Shavuos of the Tamuz. There are 5 tragedies that occur in this day. Number one, the Shavuos Haluchos. We said this in Slichos. In the Slichos today, it enumerates the 5 things. Number one is the Shavuos Haluchos. Number two, the Bittul HaTamid. Number three, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Number four, Aspasionus, he burnt, he sefer Torah in public. This is a very great churban, Srefas, a sefer Torah during after the churban by Hesheni. And number 5, Hemidu Tselem Behechel. They put it Tselem Behechel because of these 5 tragedies, these 5 terrible things. That's what we observe Shavuos Betamuz. Now, the breaching of the wall, the breaching of the wall of Yerushalayim took place really on the 17th day of Tamuz, during the Tkuv of the Bayis Sheni. What about during the Tkuv of the Bayis Rishon? So this is a machlekes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. In the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says very clearly that the breaching of the walls of the Yerushalayim during the Tkuv of the Bayis Rishon took place on the 9th day of Tamuz, not on the 17th day of Tamuz, the 9th day. So why then do we observe Shavuos Betamuz? Well, the answer is simply for the other things, okay, the other 4 terrible things that happened, or because everyone agrees that the breaching of the wall of the Yerushalayim on the Bayis Sheni took place on the 17th. However, if I'm not mistaken, is it the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, one of the Talmud says that the truth is the breaching of the wall took place on the 17th day. And the reason why Yirmiyah recorded it on the 9th day was because they lost track of time. Very shocking statement. They lost track of time. Really took place on day 17, but they thought it was the 9th, and that's why it's recorded as the 9th. Now that itself is a very requires understanding. And the reason why it's such a tragedy is, says in the Pasuk, the Goyim, the nations of the world, one of the things that they recognize about the greatest of Klal Yisrael is our ability to keep track of time. V'rochu kol amei ha'aretz. The nations of the world recognize that Klal Yisrael has incredible chokhmah. And Chazal darsh this pasuk specifically in regard to the Ibor Hashanah. They darsh this pasuk in reference to the ability of Klal Yisrael to calculate time. There's no one that had such expertise in the calculation as tough time like Klal Yisrael. They know when to make a leap year, not to make a leap year. They knew exactly the soy to ibor. That's the expression the Gemara uses, the secret of the different calculations of time. So the Chil Hashem is very great. If that in Sefer Yirmiyah we lost track of time. We who are the experts in time, the Churban began with the breaching of the wall of Yerushalayim, and that happened on a day which we ourselves cannot accurately record. That adds, intensifies the Chil Hashem and the tragedy of the Churban, of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now during the 3 weeks, we'll just run through a couple of things in the order of the Sef. During the 3 weeks, there are different stages of Avelos. It starts out, the first stage of Avelos starts out today, on Shavuos Betamuz. Okay, it's even though it's past the Zman, but there's a very big question among the Poskim, when exactly the Avelos begins. Does it begin at night? Some want to suggest that there's no Avelos last night. Okay, the whole issue is moot because we've already, it's already daytime, and Yemir Tshem next year will be a Yom Tif, so it's not going to be Nogea. But last, when did the Avelos begin? Does it begin at night, or maybe it begins by day? If you want to focus on the Shviris Haluchos, when did Moshe shadow the Luchos? Kivoshesh Moshe Lava. Moshe was late. Moshe was supposed to come at Chatzos. That's the similar thing. Giboshesh. It's already 6 hours into the day. So if you want to focus on the Shviris Haluchos, so we got time yet. Okay, so Shavuos Betamuz has not really yet begun until it's Chatzos. So right now it's only 11:20. We're still okay. Okay, until 12 o'clock, or since daylight savings time, until 1 o'clock, Shiva Asa B'Tamuz does not really begin. If you want to focus on the Bitul HaTamid, then we're in a lot of trouble. Because the Bitul HaTamid already happened, this is the latest time Zman Tfilah is until when? Is until probably like 10:30, what is something like that? So the last time you can bring the Karban Tamid Shal Shachar is 10:30 in the morning, so the Bitul HaTamid has already occurred, so we're past that Zman. But again, that's not the night time. If you want to focus on the breaching of the wall of Yerushalayim, it's not clear. I don't think there's any accurate history of when the walls were breached. Maybe there is in Josephus. There's a record of exactly when they breached the walls. Maybe it took place early in the morning, in the afternoon. I don't know exactly when. But again, did it happen at night? Seemingly not. I guess we can see what happened during the day. The burning of the Sefer Torah, when did it happen? We have no idea. When was the Salem put up in the Heichal on Shivas Matamas? We have no record. But seemingly it took place during the day, did not take place at night. So the question, and many poskim are disturbed, is why then do we have to begin observing Avelus the night of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz? For caterers, it's a very big loss. If you could have a wedding on the night of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, that's another day of business, another day of business. So yet the custom is that the Avelus begins at night. All of the restrictions begin at night. What about Bein Hashmashos after sunset? So that's a discussion. Some are Mekel, some are Machmir. Rav Moshe does say that B'Shas Hatchak you can have a wedding on the 16th day of Tammuz. You can have the chuppah and the ceremony can be done on the 6th day, and the meal, the suda, can extend into the night, because he combines two leniencies to it. Number one, everything begins, start, everything depends on when it starts. Since it started during a time that is permitted, you can be mamshich. And then Rav Moshe adds that it's not so poshut that the Avelus should really start at night. Avelus really should start by day. Since the five things that we commemorate seemingly took place by day, so there's no need to start at night. So if you started the wedding during the 16th day and it extends into the night, b'diyeved it is okay. That at night already you should avoid doing all of the restrictions, for example taking a haircut and making a shechianu, all of these type of things already should be avoided from the night. And bein hashmashos is a very difficult halachic dilemma. What is the status of avelus from the time of sunset until tzeisak achavim? Some are machmir, some are megal. Achil, what do you mean Achil? Alois, no, because the fast day, we observe fast days in our day and age, we only observe it from the morning, we don't observe it now. You're saying something very, very important. This really touched upon what we discussed yesterday from Megillas Tainus. Originally, when there were, in part of Megillas Tainus, it's not Megillas Tainus, it's from the Nevi'im. But Tzayim HaRevihi, Tzayim HaChamishi, today is called the Tzayim HaRevi. It used to be a fast day, a Tzom. This Tzom was instituted by the Nevi'im. When this fast day was in full force, the fast began at night. There was almost no difference between the way we observe Tisha B'Av, the way we observe Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. The fast begins with sunset and goes until a 25-hour period until the following night, until after it says Tzeis HaKochavim, just like Tisha B'Av. However, this is something very, very, very interesting. According to this, now what I'm telling you is not according to all opinions. I remember where I read this. I learned this in the very Chashva Sefer. I know the Sefer. I don't have the on the tip of my tongue. Maybe it'll come to me in a moment, but this halacha, these four tzomos were batal. These four tzomos, the tzom after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, at a later point in time, the tzom HaRevi'i, tzom HaChamishi, and then the tzom of HaShvi'i, of tzom Gedalia, and the tzom of Asar B'Teves, at some point in time were batal. They were no longer, when the Nevi'im were Mesakin expired. They only were Mesakin these fast days for a certain period of time. They're bottled. There's no need to fast. However, Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, instituted that although we're not going to observe it midin a halacha, an absolute requirement, we're going to observe midin minhag. We're still going to continue to observe it as a custom. And because we're only going to observe it as a custom, they were lenient in regard to the severity of the fast. So Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, they only instituted to fast from the beginning of the day, not to fast from the night before. Tisha B'Av, they maintained with a higher standard. And there was a higher standard for Tisha B'Av, which goes from the night, and all the various laws of Avelus, which we are accustomed to. So the reason why we don't do it from night is because we're not today observing this fast day midin, takana of the Nevi'im. The takana of Nevi'im was not meant to last forever. It was meant to last for a tkufa, for a period of time. That period of time expired. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola stepped in and decided that we should continue to observe the Tzom HaRevi'i, today's fast, as a minhag. And because it's only a minhag, there is room for leniency. Number one, we only fast from the day, and also if a person does not feel well, women who are pregnant and so on and so forth, there are many, many leniencies in those people who are required to fast. Okay, the Avelus get more and more severe. We start from the night of Shavuos Tammuz, and then it goes into the day of Shavuos Tammuz, and this goes until Erev Rosh Chodesh. We come to Rosh Chodesh, then in the halachas intensify, and we come to the seventh day. Then there's even a greater stringency in Chumrah. Of course, Tisha B'Av itself is the most chamor, and then after Tisha B'Av it goes back to the 9 days until the tenth day, Chatzos of the tenth day. Okay, let's discuss some of the restrictions. We fast today. We mentioned in the Rav Sichah Bunim Koni says that Rav Moshe says you should fast 50 minutes after sunset. If it's hard, 41 minutes. That's not the minig. The minig is 45. Even Rav Moshe's calendar has 45 minutes. So I don't know how to resolve the discrepancy between what he says in his sefer and what Rav Moshe says. What the minig olam. Minig olam is not more than 45 minutes. We really discussed pretty much that yesterday. Okay, if a person is not fasting, if a person is all from shulchan, if a person is not fasting, does Lot allow him to eat whatever he wants? No. Even a person that's not fasting because it's too hard is mechuyev to be memayit. Just only allowed to eat what is necessary. You're not allowed to go and indulge, have suda shlem b'shaitoi if the doctor gave the okay to eat. Another important halacha, a person should not eat publicly. I once saw this. I once was very disturbed. I saw a person, a Shomer Shabbos person, and I saw him eating in Dunkin' Donuts. When Dunkin' Donuts had a full Hechsher, I had to go in there to pick up food for, I don't know, my mother probably told me to pick up something for later, for whatever it was. And there was a person sitting there, who I knew, was sitting there in the restaurant having a meal, having lunch on one of the fast days. So that is... That, no, I only went in there to buy. Yes, that's not a kasha. I only went in there to buy. People, you're allowed to go buy food. Everyone, the bakery is open today. You're allowed to go buy food. In fact, the Gemara in Tainus talks about opening the doors. The Gemara Lechatchila says the stores are allowed to be open. If you're going to close the stores on the Tainus, it's going to be a sakana. It's going to panic. It's going. The prices are going to be raised. The stores are. But you're not allowed a person that has the okay from a doctor not to eat on a Tainus. Should not eat, it says this is a Shulchan Aruch, should not eat in public, should eat in private. Person rinsing their mouth, a person wants to brush their teeth. He rings here that a person should not. You should not even brush your teeth on a tinus unless it's very uncomfortable for you. And if it isn't comfortable, you should be careful not to have in your mouth at any point in time 3 ounces of water. 3 ounces of water is ready with these. You can rinse out your mouth if necessary, but don't rinse out with a collection of water at one point in time more than 3 ounces. Now, let's say a person forgets. This happens every so often. A person forgets that it's a fast. You come home and you are on autopilot. You walk in the front door, you open up the refrigerator door, and you take out a glass of orange juice, and you drink a glass of orange juice, and then you realize, what in the world did I just do? Today is a fast day. Does that give you a license to eat for the remainder of the day? Absolutely not. Just because you blew it doesn't mean anything. You have to continue fasting the remainder of the day. What happens if you make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, wait a minute. Today is a fast day, but you already made a bracha. What do? It's big machlokes ha'paisim. We actually learned this together a long time ago in Mishnah Berurah when we first started. It's a machlokes ha'paisim. Many paisim say you should be toy ma'at. Take a teeny mashu. It should not be a bracha levatola. Take a teeny, teeny little sip. Don't drink a shiravis, and that's the end. That should not be a bracha levatola. Other paiskim say no. It's shocking. Different machlokes of paiskim that you made a mistake. You say baruch shem kivod malchuso li'olam void, and you don't eat. You're not even toyimat. Very different. The difference of opinion of how severe the fast is. Now, we don't say aneni by shachas. Minig ashkenas. Minig real svarim do say, but minig ashkenas, all in the shlech tzibur. Why not? Fascinating insight into human psychology. Because who says you're going to make it? That's the reason. Who says that you're going to... Well, the shlech tzibur is saying on behalf of the tzibur, so we could assume that among the group of people, the tzibur will make it. But as far as an individual, it's fascinating insight in assuming like, who says you're going to make it, so you don't say it by shachas. But mincha, his other extreme. By mincha, you do say aninu even if you're planning to break your fast. Shocking, right? You davening mincha. Doctor says, or your wife is your doctor. She says you can fast until 3 o'clock, and that's it. It's all. I'm all allowing you to fast. You daven mincha at 1:30. Do you say aninu during mincha? Yes. If you're still fasting during mincha, even though you plan to break your fast, you are allowed to say aninu. What? B'shas ma'isa, you're fasting. That is a very interesting. There's a very interesting steer in the Mishnah Berurah. There are people that are fascinated with all the contradictions in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah every so often contradicts himself. Some explain that because the Chofetz Chaim did not write the entire Mishnah Berurah. Parts of the Mishnah Berurah were given to his children, his son-in-law's children. So that's very interesting. Which part was written by who? Maybe today, you know, they have these computer programs which are able to analyze styles. Yeah, it's fascinating. So I've never seen anyone do it's not clear what part was written by whom, but there's a student in the Mishnah Berurah of what happens if a person during Mincha the person is not fasting. He's not fasting. Does he say Aneinu during Mincha? So the Mishnah Berurah in one place says, if you're not fasting, if you've already broken your fast in the morning before you daven Mincha, you're not allowed. You don't say Aneinu. It's already you broke your fast at 3 o'clock, and it's now 5 o'clock, and you daven Mincha. You do not say Aneinu. In another place, the Mishnah Berurah says you do say Aneinu. How do we reconcile the contradiction? Why? Because the tzibur is fasting. Not only I don't know the exact words, but it's a fast day. So being that it's a fast day. Even though you are not fasting, you can still say aneinu. The way the place can answer this contradiction is saying that if by mistake, if by accident you ate something, it was 3 o'clock, and by accident you ate something, and you caught yourself and you're not eating anymore, and now you're davening mincha, you can still continue to say aneinu. But if you're breaking your fast for the remainder, it's not an accident. You're breaking your fast. Doctor's orders. I have to break my fast. And now you're davening mincha, then the Mishnah Berurah paskens, you should not say aneinu. Okay, yeah, the same thing with...
I was going to say, that's far as an aliyah is concerned, even if it's b'shayit.
Even b'shayit, but the question is, what is your attitude? What is your attitude? Why are you not fasting? That's not the answer. Why are you not fasting? If I'm not fasting because I can't fast, it's too hard for me to fast, then you no longer say aneinu. But if you are fasting, it's just that you made a mistake and you ate by mistake, that type of, even though you broke your fast, it would not be considered a fulfillment of a fast day. If you had an obligation, if you made a neder to fast, you can still say aneinu because the tzibur is fasting. Okay, now if a person is not fasting, so some are of the opinion that you should not say b'yom tzom ta'an aneinu, to say b'yom tzom ta'ani seinu. But you should say b'yom tzom ha'tainis hazeh. In a situation where a person accidentally broke his fast, but is still saying aneinu, or a person is planning to break his fast after mincha, some are of the opinion that you should change the nusach in the aneinu. Instead of saying b'yom tzom ta'ani seinu, you should say b'yom tzom ha'tainis hazeh. Now, what about the shliach tzibur? If the shliach tzibur, should not say, has to be fasting to say aneinu. If you have a minyan, you don't put up to a shliach tzibur a person who is not fasting. The shliach tzibur must be fasting in order for him to say aneinu on behalf of the tzibur. If you have a shul, and this is not so uncommon. Go in some places where you don't even have a minyan fasting. You don't have all 10 people are fasting. Can they still say aneinu? Can they still lein vayichal? So the rules are: if it's Monday, you basically need 7 people to be fasting. If you have 7 people who are fasting, then you can lein Vayichal, and you can say Anenu. If you have less than seven people fasting, you can't lain and you can't say Vayichal. Okay, now this, I once saw this happen. What happens by Mincha? We know that the Shlech Tzibur, he says Anenu between the Brach of Re'enu V'Anenu and Rifo'enu. The Shlech Tzibur says Anenu as a separate standalone bracha, whereas the Yachid adds an Anenu into Shomea Tefillah. So what happens if the Shlech Tzibur forgets to say Anenu as a standalone bracha? And so as long as the Tzibur catches him in the middle of the bracha of Rifo'enu, as long as he did not yet conclude Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, as long as they catch him before he says Hashem's name, then he goes back and he says Anenu Hashem Anenu B'Yom Tzom Tani Seinu. But what happens if the Tzibur does not catch him until he already finished the bracha of Rifo'enu, Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, and then now he's up to the next bracha, and now someone in the Tzibur wakes up, wait a minute, this fellow forgot to say Anenu. I once saw this happen in a minyan where there were at least 200 people. Shocking, right? In one of these gatherings, I remember my father was with me. My father was shocked. My father was trying to stop him, but they couldn't. My father really, we couldn't even get there because we were so far back. And the Shliach Tzibur forgot to say Anenu, Mincha on Tisha B'Av. And the time that they caught him, they caught him, it was already after Rifo'enu. So the rabbi in charge was quick on his feet, and he knew what to do. And the halach is, you say it during Shomea Tefillah. You don't say it as a standalone bracha. You would argue. So I'll say it as a bracha in between another bracha. What difference does it make between Re'ena and Rifo'enu? I'll say it between Rifo'enu and Ashiva Shreftenu. No. It has to be said where it was meant to be said, between Re'ena, because it relates to the bracha of Re'ena V'Anenu Hashem. Yeah, Hashem should see our affliction. The bracha of Anenu, Hashem Anenu, relates to the bracha of Re'ena. And therefore, if it's not said at that point in time, you missed out your opportunity, and the only thing you can do is you say it in the bracha of Shema Kaleinu. When you say it during Shema Kaleinu, you have to be very careful to conclude Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah, not to conclude with the nusach of the Shlech Tzibur, Ha'ine La'amo Yisrael B'Yisara. If an individual concludes with the wrong chasima, Lo Yatza, he has to repeat the bracha. Okay, some other interesting halachas. What happens if you have a shul on Shachris? Okay, it's already past Shachris, but what happens if you have a chosan? He's doing a sheva brachas. Or let's say there is a bris. Do you say slichos? So we're all accustomed to this. We all know the bottom line is, of course you say slichos. And of course you say avinu malkeinu. The only thing that you did not say is avinu malkeinu. But you should be aware, not everyone agrees to this. Even Rav Moshe talks about this, that there used to be a custom, it's important in Shulchan Aruch, is you don't say slichos. Can you imagine that? You bring in a chosan during a sheva brachas, and he exempts the entire tzibur from saying slichos. Shocking. And even from saying avinu malkeinu. That is not the custom. It says in the Paiskim, I don't remember where he quotes all the whole, there's a very nice discussion here about this, where Moshe says about this, is that it does say in the Paiskim, the earliest source, that you are mimayet in slichos. You are memayit. So some interpret that to mean that you don't say all of the slichos. Actually, he says it's done in some places, that when there is a chosan, because it's very common, you have a chosan after in Shiva Sabatamas, someone gets married 2 nights ago, so it goes into the Shiva Sabatamas, or if there's a bris, that can happen any time, right? Any day, any time, there can be a bris. So then there is such an opinion that you are memayit b'slichos. Now, the still Shiva Sabatamas is not all that long. Okay, how many? It's not all that long, but instead of saying all of the different sections, so you would just say the pizmon, or you would say the pizmon plus one section to be mimayet in the slichos. That's not really what's common among most of us. Most of us are more familiar. You say a full slichos, you say avinu malkeinu, and the only thing you omit is tachanon. And if Moshe says the person wants to say, when it says that you mimayet b'slichos, it means you skip tachanon. Tachanon is also to some degree called part of slichos. Now, by the way, slichos, another halacha, people, not everyone knows. those slichos can be said b'yichidus. And a person can't go to shul. Person is at home, is homebound. He can say slichos. He could say avinu malkeinu. There's no harm in slichos. The only thing is saying the yud gimel midos harachamim. So the solution is you can say it. Either you could skip it. Some hold you should skip it entirely. You should not say the pasuk Hashem Hashem. Or you can say it, but say the entire pasuk. We stop in the middle of the pasuk. Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chan erech apayim rav chesed v'yemes notz chesed lo alafim. No se ol lo fesha vinake. That's the middle of a pasuk. If you're saying it be a chidus, say vinake lo yinake. Pake ovon ovos albonim al shileshim v'al ribeim. You should say the entire pasuk. Rav Moshe says you should also be careful, not, he quotes Rav Moshe, not to say it in the nigun of the shul. In shul, when they say it with the nigun. Don't say it with that nigun. You should say it, just read the words, or say it with the trop of the pasuk. That is a solution to say the yud gimel midos harachamim. Can I get avinu malkeinu? There's no harm in saying avinu malkeinu when you're all alone. You can say that as well.
You have avinu malkeinu in there. That some people don't say it.
And all avinu malkeinu?
Yeah, they don't say.
The only time you don't say avinu malkeinu is when it's erev. It's the day before Yom Tov, like Purim. Right, the day before Purim, you don't say Avinu Malkeinu. But on a day when you don't say Tachanun, you still say Avinu Malkeinu.
Huh?
What?
Never saw that.
What? Not say Avinu Malkeinu altogether when you don't say Tachanun? When you don't.
No, at all.
I don't say
Tachanun.
Only says Seres Meitshuva.
Certainly,
yes.
Otherwise, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu.
Yes, that is good.
What by Nusach Svart? What?
Yeah.
They don't say Avinu Malkeinu at all. Never. And Shachris?
Shachris, yeah.
Shachris, yes. Minchanat. Okay, he doesn't discuss that. Okay, getting an aliyah. This is a very nice topic in and of itself. What happens if they call you up for an aliyah by mincha? And guess what? You're not fasting. You're not fasting. So lechatchila, you should not allow yourself to be called up. You should not be allowed to be called. Once they're ready, they call you up. They called you already. So b'di'evet, not b'di'evet, you have really no choice. You can take the aliyah, and you can because it's the tzibur. Okay, lechatchila, you should be careful that if you have a chashash, they may call you up. Make sure they don't call you. But once they call you up, then ora shelo yokim is divya terazos. It's not the end of the world to take. But don't bid for it. Okay, don't. Don't bid for it.
Bid for it and give it away.
Another interesting halacha, this is very interesting, is that, and I never knew this, is that someone who's not fasting should not be the balkore. Okay, interesting. The balkari is a very significant job. It's not a light. Not, oh, what's the balkari? Some shuls of balkari is the mamish psoilas. Chas v'shav, balkari is a very powerful role. If a person is not fasting, the same way you shouldn't be the shliach tzibur, because he can't say anenu, and the same way you should not take an aliyah, a person that's not fasting should not be the balkari. One of the major issues of Shiva of the 3 weeks, okay, just jumping to some loose end halachas, is one of the major issues not to say Bircha Shechianu. Okay, during the 3 weeks, what don't we do? What are the restrictions? Not taking haircuts. There are many leniencies to take haircuts, at least until the 9 days. If a person takes a haircut, the person shaves every single day, believe it or not. He quotes Sefer Morgan Avram, he quotes a lot of Paiskim, Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn, that technically speaking, if you take a haircut, you shave every single day, you could at least shave on L'chot Shabbos. That's mutter. He says the minig is not. The minig is that people that are not in a situation where they must shave for work-related reasons, the minig is the 3 weeks, is the degree of severity is much more than sfira. Sfira, not to shave during sfira. People confuse the two. Not to shave during sfira is only a minig. It's a lightweight minig. There are many ways out. There are many excuses to get to shave during sfira. It's not so when it comes to the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks, especially the 9 days. The 9 days is serious business. It's a avelus for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And you need a much greater heter to shave during the 9 days, and even to shave during the 3 weeks, than during Sfira. Okay, but during the 3 weeks, a person is very uncomfortable, it really bothers him, or if he needs to look presentable, he is a litigation lawyer, and he goes before the judge, and he has to look his best.
Stubble,
you have
is
what?
Stubble is
5 o'clock shadow, not more than that.
I asked, by the way, a few from lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah.
They said most of them work throughout the year. Probably they see like 2-3 judges
the whole year.
Work. And the judges, most places, are aware of the situation. They've been made aware, and they come in with beards unshaven.
No problem.
I asked a couple of friends.
It's a different world today. This tolerance.
Unshaven.
It's a different. Right. It's a different. Yeah.
They said they just the judges are not so mocked anymore.
Yeah,
it used to be, right?
Used to be a different world. Yeah,
a lot of them.
I remember.
The courtroom.
A couple of years ago, there was I read an article in one of the big newspapers where a group of Orthodox community leaders were invited to the White House, and it was during Sfira. And almost all of them came with sphere beards. And the focus of this article was shocking. You go to the White House, the President of the United States, and you're not clean shaven? Times have changed. Exactly. So, but these people did not shave. And the point of the article was that look how times have changed, that this is something which is tolerated, which is acceptable, there is understanding. Years ago it was not like this. Okay, one of the major restrictions, okay, here just finishing off, one of the major restrictions of the 3 weeks, yeah.
If I sign this sheet, will I be able to mention?
Can you be oiled to mincha for lunch? For lunch. Is it for lunch or is it for attendance? I don't know. You have to ask, what is he signing?
He
shaved.
No, he shaved. No, so you got to have the story.
Yeah.
He went around to find someone who's making a bris.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be appointed sandik.
Yeah.
So the sandik.
He was allowed to shave.
Yeah, that's why.
He has a discussion. He has a discussion. He has a very nice discussion about a sandik and the Baal Brit shaving, even on Tisha B'Av itself. So he quotes three pins. He says some have a custom that during the 3 weeks, not the 9 days, a sandik and the mole can shave. They can shave haircut. But not during the 9 days. Another minig is even during the 9 days. Rav Yashif or Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't remember which one, says the minig is to be make a legamri, a sandik and a mol can shave even during the 9 days. And then he quotes another place, let's say no, the minig b'zmanah says to be machmer is to nothing. I always noticed, it always struck me, on Tisha B'Av, I used to go to a Tisha B'Av program where Rav Pesach Kron was one of the featured speakers. And you always notice he comes Tisha B'Av clean shaven. Oh, he's a big face. Clean shaven. How in the world does this guy get away with it? Every single year he comes in clean shaven. And the answer is obvious, because he's the Moyel. He probably had a bris that morning. He has a very popular mole, so he gets to shave every single day. Because this is a very machlokes, the mole and the sanik are allowed to shave even during the days. Okay, one of the major, and this is, I'll tell you a clue the story in a moment about shaving, about eating on a tiny spot. Shaving is not so simple. Taking a haircut during the 9 days, it's very difficult. During 3 weeks, it's not so simple. It's not to be confused with the sphere. Sphere is a lightweight minuk. 3 weeks, 9 days, it's a din of avelus. It's much more serious. One of the major halachas besides shaving is making a birchas shechianu. And everything, that's really the major halacha. Anything that you do that would require you to make a shechianu, that's the rule of thumb. People, what can you do during the 3 weeks? Okay, music, the minig is not to listen to music. Let me just take a step back. Music. Today, go into the farm store, they have more a cappella than they have regular music. Is that permitted? Is that also? So technically, it's mutter. I've heard almost everyone, he has a long list of places, and they basically say it's a novel Bereshus Satora. A cappella sounds even better than the real stuff. It brings simcha. It's not in the spirit of halacha to listen to a cappella. It's not in the spirit of the halacha, so one should be aware it's not something sheruach chachamim noicha hemena to listen to a cappella during the 3 weeks and 9 days. Person can't, has no choice. A person, he needs it for his health. Okay, what are you going to do? Otherwise, it's not simple. Okay, next major issue is, what are the restrictions? Haircuts, listening to music, cutting your nails. It's not no gif, and then many people, so you cut your nails, you shouldn't do it during 9 days, it's aser. Okay, on Shabbos, during the 3 weeks, some you could be more makel, but the major other issue is doing things, the rule of thumb, doing something which would require you to make a shechianu. If you want to eat an exotic fruit, what could be so bad eating an exotic fruit during the 3 weeks? No, you're not allowed to. Eating an exotic fruit will require you to make a shechianu. If you buy new clothing, Now here's the issue. Do you make a shechianu? So today the trend is people are not making a shechianu when they buy a new suit. Unless you buy a $3,000 suit. If you buy a $200 suit, the trend is not to make a shechianu. And therefore many people want to say, it's no big deal. During the 3 weeks you can buy a new suit. I'm not making a shechianu anyway. I'll buy a pair of pants. I'll buy a tie. These are things which you don't make a shechianu. That's the basic rule of thumb. If you would have to make a shechianu, then you cannot do this event. If you really should make a shechianu, and the minig is that we don't make a shechianu, but really you should make a shechianu, that's also something that a person, if he has the ability, should try not to do during the 3 weeks. Something which you make a tova hametiv, very interesting halacha. It's not just the benefit for you. You buy a car. It's very interesting halacha. You buy a new car. Buy a new car. What bracha do you buy a new car? If you buy a new car today, okay. If you buy a new car, not a used car, bracha l'atola. If you buy, so most of the time you make a tov hametiv. Who gets the benefit of the new car? Your wife, your children, you. I don't even get a pair of keys. The keys, the right away, my wife and my children, they have the two sets of keys. I don't even have keys. Who gets? So when you buy a new car, something that you don't make a shechiyon, you make a toiva meitiv. Something you make a shechiyon, it's for me, only for me. A toiva meitiv is a new item, a sudden bahana that other people have benefit from. If you do something where you make a toiva hametiv, you're allowed to do it.
You can't even
make her hadim. There's no restriction.
You can't buy new clothes and put it away either.
Right, because you make a shechiyon. Well, that's not so right. Lechatil, you should not do so. What about buying a talis? Machlekes apoyiskim. Moish holds it's also, other holds it's mutter. A new talis because it's a beged shel mitzvah. You make a shechiyonu, but it's a beged shel mitzvah. Everyone agrees that you can buy tefillin. New tefillin you're allowed to buy during the 3 weeks. Can I just tell you a story to conclude? This is a very beautiful story. Really. Emphasizes what a tightness is, at least to some degree. I probably told you the story at some point in time. The story was there of Aaron Kotler and Irving Bunim. The story is that Irving Bunim needed to go to Washington either during one. It could be it was during Shavuot Batamis, one of the Dalet Somos, and if Aaron Kotler was going to accompany him. For whatever the purpose was, for Vadat Solid work, whatever it was, they had to go. They had a very important meeting in Washington in the middle of the day. And they were going together. And if Aaron Kotler, he actually picked up Irving Bunim. Or Irving Bunim, they met together. And he comes into the taxi, into the car. They would go to Washington early in the morning. If Aaron Kotler has in his hands a paper bag. In the paper bag was bagels. And he told Irving Bunim, eat breakfast. It's going to be a long day today. It's going to be a long, hot day today. We have a lot of work. Eat breakfast. And Irving Bunim said to Aaron Kotler, "How you talking? It's a tainus. Shavuos Batamis. I'm going to eat." So he says, "You're allowed to eat. We're going today on a mission that is for the klal. For klal Yisrael, it's important. You have to be b'chol tokfai. You have to be ready." So Irving says, "I feel fine. I'm 100%. I'm operating today at full capacity. I don't need to eat. I'm okay." Rav Aaron said, "No, you have to." "No, I don't." So Rav Aaron let him off. "Okay, fine. If you're telling me that you feel fine, you don't need to, okay, fine." They went. They went on their mission. They had their meeting. Everything was fine. They accomplished whatever happened. They then went back home. It was in the afternoon, late afternoon, and they're going home. And Irvin Bunim says of Aaron Kohler, do you still have that bag of bagels? I really don't feel well. So Aaron said to him, it's a tinus. How you talking? It's a tinus today. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat. It's a tinus. Are you together? Pikuach nefesh? Are you a choyla? Shame by sakana? So he said, no, but I'm just very weak. I'm okay. So he said, you can't eat. It's a tinus. But didn't you tell me this morning? That was when we were on the way. We're done. We're not going anywhere. We're going home. You don't need to be b'chol tokfai. You can't eat now. So this story, it really illustrates, it, to some degree, it illustrates what is the heder to eat. You have a heder to eat. There has to be a higher purpose. If the purpose is just stam, I'm shvach, and there's no higher purpose, not so simple. It's not so simple. Okay, with that we'll conclude. Have a easy and meaningful fast.